12 minutes to 7. Welcome, Mkaya. Remember, you can engage with us. Our SMS line is 36959. Listen to us on DSTV channel 861. And of course, if you want to call us, it's 086-000-959. Or you can simply drop us a voice note on 063-688-0959. This time we go inside your pocket. We've just been in your pocket trying to see what the conditions are there. But this time we want to understand year-end bonuses. What are the employer's obligations? Remember, we're talking about the lack of disposable income that affects how people have been treating Black Friday post-COVID. But now we want to understand, how does this all work out? Guests this evening on this matter, Malisela Letwaba, Associate in Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. A very good evening to you, Malisela, and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
So this issue of bonuses and 13th check, let's just first start by drawing the distinction and speaking to us about what the differences are and why it matters, how it influences how you see this money that you're getting at the end of the year.
Thank you. So when we talk about bonuses and 13th check, essentially we're talking about an extra payment of some kind, and we look at the way it's regulated. The drafting or the capturing of the payment per se is normally regulated in terms of an agreement between the employer and the employee. Alternatively, it's regulated in terms of a policy. What it ultimately means is that payments or the bonus or the 13th check would normally be equivalent to an employee's monthly CTC, whereas a bonus may be discretionary and it's calculated maybe upon certain factors such as the employer's performance for the fiscal year, or we can consider factors such as the performance of the team, the department, or even the employee in itself. Ultimately, the 13th check normally in the ordinary course relates to a complete guaranteed monthly CTC, whereas a bonus may slightly differ depending on the key KPAs or what regulates that particular payment.
And we'll talk about the rewarding of bonuses and discretion. Let's just first stick with the 13th check. Some people's understanding, and you'll tell me if this is accurate, is that basically you are saving my money for me. I could be earning this money monthly, but what you're doing as the employer is you squirreling it away so that at the end of the year you give me an extra check of what I would have gotten throughout the year anyhow.
That may be the notion, but when we understand it practically, when one enters into a contract of employment, they are obviously agreed upon terms which include a monthly remuneration. And when you accept that offer, you agree to be remunerated in a certain quantum at the end of each and every calendar month, payment dates differing from entity to entity. The 13th check component, and considering that there are only 12 calendar months, is then an additional month. It's something extra. So when it's guaranteed or when it's recorded that it may be paid, it goes beyond the calendar month in every given year. It goes beyond the CTC, the annual CTC. And it cannot really be said to be pocketing the money. It just merely states that we are entitled to reward you for your work or for the performance or contractually bound to do so at the end of the fiscal year or maybe at the end of the calendar year.
And as you say, that bargaining council agreements do make provisions for the payment of bonuses. But the agreement with the employer, as you mentioned, there is the bonus, of which there is discretion, often based on your performance, and the 13th check. Can that be renegotiated, or can it be negotiated from the onset?
Considering that a contract of employment is essentially an agreement in which parties agree to terms, there's no reason why the terms of that particular agreement cannot be negotiated. There must obviously be consensus as to the terms. And on that point alone, if an employee feels that they would like more, there's no reason not to engage. However, there also has to be an appetite to offer more. Normally, parties would reach compromise, or there may be apart from one another, in which case then there's no agreement, then there would not be a contract. to state that I'm employing you and these are the terms, and the term regulating the 13th check is as follows.
And just on terms of performance, I mean, we see this often in the newspapers and with regards to labor news, where employees are disgruntled and they say the CEO still gets a big fat check, and whereas we get a minimal amount of that reward or none at all. Just talk to us about the laws governing that, the discretion and the hierarchy. Can somebody actually challenge not getting a bonus or of a certain amount?
So when we look at bonuses that are discretionary, we need to consider why they're discretionary, and secondly, how the employer exercises that discretion. There's always room for a dispute to say that the employer has not exercised its discretion in paying bonuses. You know, judicially, they've not exercised it fairly. And on that basis, one can refer disputes to the appropriate labor dispute resolution forum, stating that my employer is paying out bonuses. They are exercising their discretion, but I do not feel that they are exercising it fairly and appropriately in the greater scheme of things. And then thereafter put forward the reasons why it's not fair. So there's always room for a challenge if it's discretionary in nature. However, where it's contractually regulated, then naturally the parties have agreed to those terms and they ought to be bound to those terms.
So the production bonus is based not on the performance measured against company standards, but rather on production measured against targets. Then there's the performance bonus, which, again, on the issue of discretion, and a supervisor or a line manager can then influence on whether or not you get a performance bonus and to what point. Is there something that is stipulated in the law that says it's incumbent on your superior to ensure that they do observe you closely? Because some people do it on the basis of impression or whether they like you enough or not. And I've heard this from employees. They would work, you know, they break their backs, and simply because somebody feels like they don't deserve that, but it's there, the performance is there, it's recorded, but they're just not accorded their credit.
So when you look at it in the greater scheme of things, it does not only pertain to a single employee. There may be other external factors which I cannot exhaust that may influence the discretion utilized when awarding or exercising the discretion to pay a bonus. And when we look at it in the greater scheme of things from an entity perspective, we also need to consider, is it commercially viable to pay out that bonus? Now, in instances where the employee has exceeded their KPIs, has performed exceptionally well, but overall the business just hasn't hit that target, there may be justification there to state that the bonus cannot be paid out at a particular rate due to the fact that overall, whilst you have performed employee X, the business overall has not met that particular target. The projections were X, we did not get to X, and on that basis, we are only in a position to offer Y. What's important is that one, as an employer, must always be able to justify why they are exercising the discretion in a particular manner and paying out a particular portion or percentage of a bonus. And secondly, even if there is an unfair exercise of that discretion, the employee must illustrate why it's unfair if the employee alleges that it is indeed unfair. And the employer must rebut to say that it's not unfair for these particular reasons, which may differ from operation to operation.
The issue of company rules and targets set. So let's say a particular department is set to produce 100 widgets per hour, but an employee or department consistently produces 130 widgets per hour. How is a rejection rate then calculated? If, for instance, though the standard is you must perform or produce 5%, but then your overall rejection rate is generally, say your production rate is generally 1%. So how is it? It sounds very technical.
It certainly is very technical. And what I can say is that it would differ from entity to entity. Ultimately, what needs to be considered, and businesses differ, is that are the overall operations of the entity meeting their projections in terms of targets, in terms of forecasting, And commercially, are they in a position to pay that out before it goes one step further to say that, right, I'm in a position to only pay out X? Ultimately, it's the discretion lies with the employer, and the employer needs to ensure that when exercising that discretion, it does so fairly.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights. I'm sure a lot of people feel a little better off understanding how this is calculated, the year-end bonuses, the 13th check, and the legalities of it, what is fair and what's not. And I suppose also being a little bit more circumspect when going into those agreements initially, ensuring that they understand what they're signing on the dotted line. Malesela Letwaba, thank you very much. He's Associate in Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. It's just about 7 p.m.
Kaya Biz on Kaya 959, brought to you by Cap.